Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, and thank you for turning to this radio station. The next 30 minutes is about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it's done with no manipulation. It means there are no hidden agendas on this radio show. We're not trying to get you to join up, and we are not trying to sell you anything. We do not have any useless speculation, especially political speculation. This is about accurate information, and that accurate information is found in the Bible or the Word of God. The Flatline is a monologue radio show discussing God's Word. Not a dialogue. It's not a call-in show. It's a monologue. And if you're interested, if you've ever been interested in learning what the Bible has to say without all the games, without all the gimmicks, then you've tuned in to the right show. Because this is 30 minutes of no nonsense. This is the only place on the radio station where the message is a lot more important than the man. Who the man is not even an issue, even though I am Rick Hughes, I am the host, and have been hosting this show for over 3 years across the United States as we speak. But it's the message that's important. Always remember that. And on the Flatline, we try to teach you God's wonderful problem-solving devices so that you will know when adversity hits your life, you don't have to surrender to stress. There is a better way to live than being worried. There's a better way to live than being afraid. There's a much better way to live than carrying a ton of guilt around with you and thinking that a lot of bad things have happened to you because of something that you did. And it's amazing to me how many people get that sort of attitude. It's the skeleton in the closet attitude, we call it. It's the bad things are happening to me because at one time I did some really stupid things, and now God's getting even with me about that. And that's not the right attitude to have. Let me remind you of a couple of things as we start. First of all, can a person really know for sure that they're going to heaven? Excuse me, heaven. And the answer is absolutely yes, and it has nothing to do with what church you belong to. It has nothing to do with any gimmick or game. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's a gift from God and not of works, lest anyone would brag about it." Now, I may be wrong, but a gift is usually undeserved. I just had a birthday and someone gave me a gift, and I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I just showed up and they said, "Happy birthday, here's the gift." It's the way eternal life is. You certainly can't earn it. You can't equal God's righteousness. You cannot have the equivalent righteousness of a perfect standard. And so in spite of what you may try to do, it just won't add up. And that's why the Bible says there are none that are righteous. No, not even one. And so I don't care how good you are. If you don't drink, you don't dance, you don't smoke, I mean, you don't do bad things, God is not impressed. And the reason why is because all of our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. So even the nicest, kindest, most wonderful, generous thing you could do does not impress God. But what does impress God is His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. And God the Father, on two occasions recorded in the Scripture, says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And when you believe that fact, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then God gives you a big hearty well done. The Bible clearly says that He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. And the only way you can have any equivalent righteousness in your life is to come through Jesus Christ, God's anointed Son. Once that happens, the Bible says these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life. So have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you at one time in your life, at one simple moment in time, maybe when you were 10 or 11, or maybe when you were 15 or 16, or maybe when you were 20, did you ever believe and consider the fact that Jesus is the Son of God? And in your mind, did you say, You know, I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, the Bible says he that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, what am I supposed to believe? You're supposed to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What did the Pharisees and the scribes hate? That he said he was the Son of God. This is why they wanted to kill him, and this is why the Romans said, Pilate especially said, I find no fault in him. You crucify him. He hasn't broken any laws. And they could not stand it because he said that he was the Son of God. Can you stand that? Can you believe that? You know, when you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God, there's nothing wrong with asking him to save you. And I did that myself. Once I heard the information and once I believed it, then I prayed a prayer because the Bible says whoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I asked him to save me. I said, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, and I'm willing to accept him as my Savior. There was a lot of things I didn't know about what I was doing, but I knew this, that I wanted to be saved, and I knew that only Jesus Christ could save me. And I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I didn't hear noise, I didn't see any angels, no fanfare. But it actually did happen, and you know, I've never really doubted it since that day. Now, I've done a lot of stupid and weird things like you, and there are things that if I focus on them, I feel guilty and ashamed about them. But the Bible says in John 10:28-29, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand. So in spite of my failures, I know no one can take me out of the hand of God, even though some preacher may say I don't deserve to be saved, that I deserve to go to hell. Well, that's probably true. I do deserve to go to hell, but I'm not, because Jesus Christ paid for my sin. And thus I can know, as per 1 John 5, I know, I don't hope, I know I'm saved. Because I know I have believed in Jesus Christ. He says in Hebrews 13:5 that he would never leave me, that he would never forsake me. And you know, sometimes people say, well, I could leave him, I could quit believing in him. Well, the Bible clearly says in 2 Timothy 2:13 that even if we believe not, yet God still abides faithful, because he cannot deny himself. Once you become a member of the royal family of God, you're brought into the family by adoption. And for God to disown you, he would have to disown his own Son, and that's not going to happen. So if you have received Christ as your Savior by means of believing in him, you have eternal life, and that will never change. And for the fact of you carrying around guilt because of things that you did before you got saved, remember the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Those pre-salvation sins, those sins that you did before you believed in Jesus Christ, all blotted away. Now, what about post-salvation sins? Well, there's two things to consider. One of them is the experience of when I do them, and the other is the position that I have before God. So before God, all of my sins were forgiven, past, present, and future. But in experience, I still sin every day. And so when I use Rebound, which is the first problem-solving device found in the Bible, that says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing, when I use Rebound, I know that I'm restored to fellowship, and I know that I can resume my spiritual life even though I may have interrupted it by means of personal sin. How long I stay out of fellowship is a different story. Some people sin and get back immediately. Some people sin and stay out of fellowship 24 hours and then confess the sin. Some stay out of fellowship years. That's a good question to ask you as you're listening to me today. Are you out of fellowship with God? I didn't say, are you out of the relationship? But are you out of fellowship? And that means, Is there sin in your life that has not been dealt with, that you haven't admitted to God? And you say, well, I can't remember every sin I ever do. I can't admit everything. I agree. So the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. So you just name the ones you're aware of, and God will even cleanse you from the ones that you're not aware of. And sometimes you may say, you know, I don't quite understand this stuff. How could it be that simple? Well, listen, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, and I can read them to you if you'd like. Trust the Lord with all of your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path smooth. Now, the key thing there is don't trust on your own understanding, and acknowledge Him. So if you want to remember this, remember that if you're sitting there trying to figure it out and say, I don't know how this could work like this, how could anybody be saved just by believing in Jesus Christ? I mean, there's got to be more to it. Well, that's your understanding. That's you trying to add something to it, like you on a transcontinental flight, you want to get out and push the jet across the Atlantic Ocean. You're not going to do it. God's already done it. But in your understanding, you might not get it. But in God's infinite will and wisdom, He understands it completely because He designed it in eternity past. And you are going to heaven. Compliments of the grace of God. Proverbs 13:18 says, gullible people are gifted with stupidity. Gullible people are gifted with stupidity. A gullible person is a person that'll buy the lie. That's the person that'll see that infomercial on television and think that's the greatest thing since fried chicken and apple pie, and they'll buy it. And then when they get home, they find out it doesn't actually work like that dude did it on television. You believe the lie, and you were stupid for doing it. And the Bible says a fool and his money are soon parted, so that's what you did. You foolishly thought that that thing would really do all that stuff, and you paid for it, and nah, it doesn't do it. A gullible person spiritually, a gullible person spiritually is a man or a woman who doesn't believe God's word. And that's probably the dumbest thing you could ever do, especially if you think you're smarter than God. You know, I actually heard a fellow one time say this, if I was God, I would not have done it that way. That's what he said. It was in front of a lot of people. If I was God, I would not have done it that way. I don't know if this man meant to say what he said, but the way that it came out was a great insult to God. How could God have made a mistake? And how could this man have been smarter than God to do it another way? See, that was pretty stupid. Proverbs 13:16 says, any sensible person acts with knowledge, but a fool displays his stupidity. If you want to understand God, it's going to take some knowledge. It's going to take you learning something. Or you can just be stupid all your life and operate on your emotions and miss it completely. If you are in the family of God, you must take time to learn how God's plan operates. That's why you will hear me constantly harp on Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, where God says, I'm looking for people that not only know me, but people that understand me. And there is a vast difference between knowing God and understanding God. Knowing God means you believed in Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your Savior. Understanding God means you've learned God's protocol plan and you're adhering to it, or you're living by means of that plan. Now listen, life is like a journey. And the question is, which road are you going to take? You can take the most direct, you can take the fastest, or you can take the scenic. I have one of those GPS things when I'm traveling, and it'll ask me, you want to go the most direct, you want to go the fastest, or you want to go the scenic? I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot of time to do the scenic thing when I'm trying to get somewhere, so I want to go the fastest, not the most direct. The most direct takes me off the highway and through the small towns. I want to stay on the interstate and get there as quick as I can if I'm driving. And growth is like that. It's a lifelong process. I mean, you don't graduate from the Christian life. You just keep plugging and you keep plugging and you keep plugging. And you try not to get distracted with stupidity and buy into something It has nothing to do with God's plan. And the one enemy you have to watch out for is your emotions. You must be careful about this because people will appeal to your emotions, especially in the religious circle. And so Proverbs chapter 2 gives you some insight, and I want to show you what I call the Fantastic Four in Proverbs chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 2, "My son, if you take my words to heart," if is a third-class condition that means maybe you will and maybe you won't. "But if you take my words to heart, and if you treasure my mandates within you," that means that you value the commands of God. So if you take my word to heart and treasure my mandates within you, and pay close attention to wisdom, that means pay attention to the details, "and let your mind reach for understanding." Here it is. God said, I want people that know me and people that understand me. So listen again. If you pay close attention to wisdom, Proverbs 2:2, "and let your mind reach for understanding, and if you call out for insight and ask aloud for understanding and search for wisdom as if it were money and hunt for wisdom as if it were a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He has reserved priceless wisdom for decent people, and He is a shield for those who walk in integrity, in order to guard those on the path of justice and to watch over the way of His godly ones. And then you will understand what is right, what is just and fair, and every good course in life." Now, listen to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. "Wisdom will come into your heart, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, foresight will protect you, and understanding will guard you." There are the Fantastic Four: wisdom, knowledge, foresight, and understanding. You have those four things, you got it all. Now, what exactly is wisdom? Wisdom, very simply put, is a pool of information. Wisdom is a pool of information. How do you get that pool of information into your soul? Well, you listen to it be taught. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you assemble yourself for the teaching of the Word of God, hopefully under the authority of a well-qualified pastor who can teach you God's Word. Wisdom is a pool of information. Without the pool of information, then you don't know what to do, and you wind up wandering off down the My Way highway. Now, your poo may be a wading poo, or it may be a deep swimming poo, but it has to start somewhere. So when you fill a pool up, when you put the hose in there and turn the water on, it doesn't fill up in an instant, and wisdom doesn't come overnight. Wisdom, and then the Bible talks about knowledge. Knowledge, very simply put, is the roadmap to success. It's knowing why and when to do certain things. Foresight is the third of the Fantastic Four. And you say, what is foresight? Foresight is simply you having X-ray vision. It's you being able to see what is bad and what is good. It's you being able to distinguish between good and evil. And not necessarily bad things and good things. Good and evil are both from the genius of Satan. Human good is the world's worst number one garbage. Human good is you trying to manufacture something for God that will not glorify Him. And human good is always destroyed at the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. It's called wood, hay, and stubble. And every Christian that brings wood, hay, and stubble to heaven is bringing all of that human good they did as a believer, things they did to assist God, glorify God, whatever, but they did it not in the power of the Holy Spirit, but in the energy of the flesh. They were not filled with the Spirit when they did it. And X-ray vision gives you the ability to avoid human good, the ability to spot evil and recognize evil. The number one evil thing in the world, if no one's ever told you, is organized religion. It is the most evil thing in the world. It is Satan's ace trump, because more people will think they're saved if they are a member of an organized religious organization. And that's not salvation. Salvation is a relationship, not a religion. So wisdom, knowledge, foresight, and then lastly, understanding. The last of the Fantastic Four is understanding, and that's your strength. Understanding comes from the word epignosis. That's a Greek word, and that word is translated in the Bible, knowledge or full knowledge. You see, it's one thing to learn something, and then there's something else to understand what you've learned. You ever done that? You ever worked one of those puzzles at one of those breakfast places where they have those little triangle-looking deals with the toothpicks in them, and you work it, and you get only one left, but you don't know how you did it? See, you did it, but you didn't understand it. See, it's a difference between knowing something and understanding something. And when you understand why God requires certain things out of you, like to grow in the grace and the knowledge of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, why God requires that you represent Christ in your dispensation or your generation, why God leads you in certain ways, when you understand these things, it really does take the monkey off your back. It really gives you an exciting new way to live. It's a new way full of vision and energy. And you don't get energy from dreams. No, you don't. You get energy from the filling of the Holy Spirit and the dynamics of the Word of God in your life. That is energy in your life. Proverbs 12, verse 11 says, "One who chases unrealistic dreams has no sense." That means they're pretty stupid. And yet everybody tells you today that you can follow your dream, and if you'll send me $19.95, I'll tell you how to acquire your dream. Not me, I don't need your money, but I'm talking about the commercials you see on television. You know, they want to sell you something, chase your dream, and maybe you've bought into that, and you sent for somebody's thing on how to get rich, how to pay your bills, how never to be in debt again, how to make $1 million in a year. It's pitiful. And yet, there are suckers born every minute to really go for that stuff. It's chasing a dream. Let me see if you're chasing this dream. If I could just win the lottery, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. So even if you win a $10 million lottery, you're just going to move to a different part of town and still be miserable. Because it's not going to change you. It may change your environment. It's not going to change what you think. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And you say, well, I wouldn't have to worry about my bills anymore. No, now you just have to worry about how people are going to steal your money. Because I guarantee you, if you got $10 million, there's a lot of people a lot smarter than you going to figure out how to get part of it. And they'll tell you it's for your own good. Oh, you need to invest with me, and I'll take care of your money for you. And next thing you know, you'll be out a few hundred thousand. You see, all of this is related to emotions. Emotion is a very dangerous thing. In your emotions, you think you could be happy if you'd win the lottery. In your emotions, you think you'd be happy if you could move to another part of town. And if your emotion gets into your religious life, then you think you felt God today because we had a great emotional service. You think God was here because we all felt so close to Him. Emotions are not the fuel for the spiritual life. Never have been, never will be. And this is how many people get sucked into false religion, is they get sucked in by their emotion because they feel something. And the Christian life is not feeling something. The Christian life is understanding something. Have I felt emotions before? Yes, I have. Especially when I knew that I had fulfilled God's plan for my life. Especially if I knew I had done a right thing in a right way. Or when I've seen God answer a prayer. But not in worshiping God, no. That's not how you worship God, by getting emotional. Emotions will not carry you in a crisis. And that's why emotions are not one of the 10 problem-solving devices that we talk about on this radio show. There are 10 of them. Did you know that? The 10 problem-solving devices. Do you have the book, Christian Problem Solving? If you don't, I'll be more than happy to send it to you. Just write to me, Rick Hughes, Post Office Box 100, and the city is Cropwell, Alabama. I'll send it to you free of charge, and you can read about these 10 problem-solving devices. Or you can keep listening as we will go over them from time to time. Remember, problem-solving device number one is rebound. That solves the problem of sin, and I can confess my sin, and I don't lose the relationship. I get back in fellowship, I don't lose the relationship when I sin. I just break fellowship. Problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that solves the problem of my genetically formed old-sin nature, the carnal man, the lust, the flesh that wants to control me. There's a better way to do it, and the Bible says if I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Problem-solving device number three, the faith rest drill. And that's standing on the promises of God and using the Word of God as a shield of faith in times of difficulty. That's why I teach these things. That's why I carry on the way that I carry on this radio show. I major on information, not emotions. I major on information. We never do any speculation. You'll never hear us talking about the what if here or the what if there. And you'll never hear us talking about where we're going to be for some special rally and we can sell you a ticket, show up, and we can have a great service. That's not what this show's about. What this show is about is information, accurate information. My job is to verify and identify God's plan for your life. Your job is orient and adjust to the plan if you accept it. And that's why you might not hear any music on this show. You might not hear any yelling or screaming on this show. Maybe the show, the whole format of the show may be kind of boring and monotone to you. Well, that's the way I intend it to be. Because the show is not about the man. It's about the message. And that's why I don't have any special revelation to give you. The only thing that I have to give you is the Word of God. And it's always accurate. No gimmicks and no games. This information is always from the Bible. But it requires that somebody dig it out. You don't get wisdom by putting a Bible under your pillow and going to sleep at night and hoping that somehow or another it's going to drift through that pillow into your head. And you don't gain knowledge by doing that either. You must study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why I pray on this radio show, I'm praying all the time, that God would lead me to that one person in this city who wants to understand. And I've met some of you personally. I know that you are hungry for truth. I have seen the way you're studying and how this show has changed your life. And that's what motivates me to keep coming here week after week and cranking it out. Because you want to grow. You know, the Bible says, 1 Peter 3:12, the Lord's eyes are on those who do what He approves, and His ear hears their prayers. The Bible goes on to say in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Lord's eyes scan the whole world to find the ones whose hearts are committed to Him and to give them strength. If God looked into your heart today, would He see positive volition to His Word? Would He see an unceasing hunger to learn all you can and to experience everything of Him that there is to offer? Not an emotionally driven Christian that's up one minute and down the next, that depends on some music to get them over the hump, but a mentally driven Christian who understands God's Word and who uses God's Word as armor, as faith, and stands on it daily. And that is what motivates you to be the man or the woman God intended you to be. Your strength, your wisdom, your knowledge, your X-ray vision, your understanding, all come from the Word of God that you've learned and applied. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.